All right. Hello. This is Ren Goldrich, and welcome to the October 2018 Energy Room. And the theme for this month is talking to spirit or talking with spirit, however you want to put it. And it's kind of fun, you know, to play on October and Halloween and all things spiritual. But there's a lot of things that have been coming up just even in sessions and the way that I've been working and just the advice that people have been speaking of late about, you know, when I say, oh, talk to them at a spiritual level or work with them at a spiritual level, people don't understand what that means. So I really wanted to go into it. And it is one of those things where, you know, I say it and then it could mean a lot of different things depending on who you are, how you were brought up, the way you see the world. If you talk to God, if you don't, what spirit is, you know. So I think that'd be a really awesome energy room for us just to talk about. And then there's also those times where you feel like you aren't connected with spirit. So when you're talking to spirit, even though you can be quite cynical about it or resentful about it, and just to keep that dialogue open. And what is that dialogue? What is the dialogue with spirit? You know, we can say we're spiritual beings having a human experience. We can say that, you know, on the physical material world exists on a certain plane and the spiritual exists on another plane. But no matter how you put it or how you describe the differences, we coexist at all moments with spirit. With our spiritual selves and with the greater spirit. So what is that? How does that apply? And it's interesting because before I started recording, we were just chatting and we were talking about going through a big package and the processing that's involved in that and all of the detox and the cleansing that comes along with that and how you know, being able to go through that, being in the space and the time of being able to go through that and persevere. So spirit has a big part of that. That's a form of nourishing the spirit. So with that, I would like just to open up for any questions or any comments before I keep going. So because this is your energy room. And what comes up when I say talking with spirit? What comes up for you now? What are your experiences?
Well, I noticed for me going through this intense detoxification and rebuilding that I don't feel that connected to spirit. Like, I mean, at least I guess being in so much pain, I'm not making the effort either. So maybe that's what it is. It's just hard.
Well, that makes sense to me in a way because
it's hard for me to make the effort when I'm in so much pain. I can hardly even, I mean, I can't even sit. I have to lay down all the time. So
that makes sense. Like, that's one of the biggest reasons for not feeling connected with spirit is the physical anguish of various sorts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to sneeze. So does anybody else have something to add?
Yeah, I'd like to add something. It also seems with physical pain, it's also mental pain, which is stress, I would say, also inhibits. And when I'm talking about talking with spirit, it seems like a lot of times it feels like a one-way conversation, and sometimes I get something back, but it's not always. So, you know, when you want to have a conversation with spirit, you know, conversation is back and forth. And then,
yeah,
you know, trusting the spirit in the conversation coming back also. Because it's a completely different way from what we've been brought up as humans and how we communicate. It's different.
Yes, it is. So we're talking about in this sense of the way this conversation is going, we've got the physical body, the mental body. We always have the emotional body. If you're in an high emotional state, it's difficult to connect with spirit as well. We have the spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's one way of communicating with spirit. Your spiritual body is going to echo because it's the closest thing to language-wise, you know, or definition-wise to that realm just by the word itself. And when you look at, like, the physical aspect, when you layer all of the different bodies, the spirit body is the one that literally holds up the physical body. It carries your sack of bones. And so when you see someone that's, like, high-spirited or somebody that's lost their spirit or, you know, someone that's dealing with depression or whatever, that they just seem to have no existence of spirit, you can see just in body language itself the health or the manifestation of someone's spiritual being because of the way they carry themselves. So this is one way to relate it. And it's easy to understand. Like, if Roseanne's talking about being in a lot of pain and only being able to lay down, just walking into the room and observing her is going to reveal something about her spirit that's clearly going to show, wow, she's, you know, her spirit's not at 100%, or she's dealing with so much pain that the spirit's in overwhelm, right? So, one of the things I want to bring up just to help everyone out here, when you're dealing with a form of physical detox at the level that Roseanne's dealing with, and just so I created a trauma package a while back, and it had like a bunch of quantum spin waves in it, all dealing with various types of trauma, and that's what she's working through right now. So it's a really big package. So the level of detox that the average person would be going through would be extremely high while listening to that package, whether or not they had any trauma. So if you actually have trauma that's, you know, a sticking point or fixed in your reality, that package is going to move you through a lot of detox, especially on the physical side. So when you're experiencing it, what you do is I'm going to teach you guys how to do a basic correction if I haven't done that before. And so what you do is kind of hold two fingers right around my navel, like I'm pointing at my navel. And then I just draw or I trace a center line up my torso, and I stop at the upper chest. You do not go to the collarbone or the neck. You just go from navel to mid-chest. And you don't have to touch your body. It's just you point at your navel and then you just kind of draw that vertical line up and say correct. And if you're in a lot of pain, like Roseanne's talking about, you just say, okay, let's reduce physical detox by 50%. Correct. And then you can reduce it again by 50%. And correct. And that's anytime you're dealing with physical detox, mental detox, emotional detox, you know, you're just crying, you can't stop, you got a headache and you've got racing thoughts, or anything of that nature, just, reduce mental detox by 50%, correct. Reduce emotional detox by 50%, correct. And just reduce by 50% increments. You'll still be detoxing, but at that stage when you're at unbearable pain or just unbearable overwhelm, you are literally in detox overwhelm. It makes it very difficult to do anything from that state of overwhelm because you're just in hypersensitivity mode. So instead of reducing your sensitivity, you just reduce the amount of detox. Again, it's really important not to go past the collarbone or up to the neck when you're running a correction like that. It just messes with your energy in another way, and it can actually go backwards. So be really careful with that. Okay, let's go to the communication side. And what I would like to do is I would just like to open up the... Let's just all step into the conference room that dwells in Spirit's house or dwells in Spirit's office building. So I'm going to open up the energies of Spirit and all that that is and can be. And literally just, if you have to in your mind, just pull up a chair and sit around the room. And what's funny, it's a lot like this energy room where we're all here, we're all hanging out. We're free to say what we need to say. We're free to be present as we are, and everyone has space for that. Spirit space is the exact same way. You're not the only one that's here. It doesn't really matter who else is here because you're still allowed to be 100% you. You're free to say whatever you need to say. That was a really awesome shift. I can't tell if that was one person or multiple people. So if you need to, and it's difficult to not be heady about it or to think about it a lot, but where in your body, and we're asking your body, so hey body, where within you does Spirit reside? If Spirit has a house in your body, where is that? And this is, we're not talking about the Spirit body, we're talking about Spirit. Some of you, when you stepped into it, it hit your heart. It was a heart space thing. But that doesn't have to be true for everyone. So just kind of see where Spirit resides. And it is really funny because Spirit does communicate in very different ways depending on the ways you look or what you've learned or how you pay attention. So for me, I get a lot of guidance from Spirit animals. They show up for me in really interesting ways. Like the other day I was going for a walk and a red-tailed hawk just swooped down like 3 feet away from my body and just flew right over me. This is really rare encounter. So I go and I look at the red-tailed hawk in flight, you know, and all the way that it's behaving when I encounter it, and just sit with that. And that's the way that I receive some communications from Spirit. It can be in a myriad of different ways. Okay, and right now, someone doesn't want to see. So, I might ask these questions in weird ways at first. So, what are you being shown that you're unwilling to see? Okay, I'm going to open up a time spa for everyone here. I'm going to research and identify all occasions of communication with Spirit that have gone unseen. And I'm putting them in a big pot right now. So, even as I'm just holding this energy, there is a general resistance to this energy. And it's hitting everyone in different ways. Like, in some people, it's hitting the forehead really hard. some people, it's like making someone is making the eyes water pretty bad. And it seems to be locked in the head more than anywhere else. But there's also this, there's a sense of trepidation, like, oh my gosh, what am I going to hear? What am I going to find out? What if I don't like it? Type of a thing. It's really interesting. Whatever you are encountering as I bring this energy forward, like everything that's gone unseen and it's about to be revealed, allow yourself to be present with it. Because that resistance is your own power. It's your own strength. And that energy of resistance is all of the force that's required to keep yourself separate. That's the actual amount of energetic drain that's required. So if you can just let go and not hold that in place, the reveal won't be so tense.
Do you think that that happens because people are afraid they're going to hear something negative about themselves or something like, you know, predicting doom of some sort? Because I'm very fortunate to be able to have animals in my environment that are always willing to serve as messengers of spirit for me. And a lot of the messages that they bring me are protection. I had a robin fly around my house for 4 days in a row, tapping up and down the windows, protecting me, and around my car, too, around the house and around the car. And other animals, you know, bringing me messages of joy or something that, but never doom. Just wondered if maybe that is something that other people think about.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure there's a lot of things, like everything that you, just think about your basic, like, you know, your basic scenario where you're stepping into something and you don't know what it is and there's that nervous feeling. Or when somebody just walks up to you and says, hey, I need to talk to you about something, and then you just have that sinking feeling in your stomach, like, oh my, what are we going to talk about? You know, and it doesn't even have to be anything bad. You just have that, ooh, you know. So when anybody says, hey, you know, you're getting ready to, you know, reveal something unseen or, you know, get all of the information, there is sometimes that, oh no, what am I going to find out? What am I going to learn about myself that I don't want to know? You know, so there is that aspect of resistance. I think it's cool that you received that side, especially like where you are and what you're moving through, and growth is that protection is valid for you. And that's really awesome. So, with the energy here, like my bowl of energy, I'm jokingly calling it a cauldron today since we're, you know, doing the spirit stuff. I'm going to start with the number one thing that you resist the most, and this is everyone. I'm calling out the energy of the number one thing that you have, that has gone unseen, that you resist the most throughout all space-time. So it does not have to be in this lifetime, and it's just an energy. Okay, all bodies, respectively, educate occupants in the sensory experience of the energy that has gone unseen that they are resisting the most. Okay, now if it's going in your head and you're in your head like screaming, like, tell your body to unify it throughout the body so that you can actually have a full body experience. Or equalize it throughout the body. I'm just going to do some stuff on the side here, okay? So what is all of the resistance that is a lie? I'm going to run a dispersion on that. Research identify any and all anchor points, implants, and programs which are running from the resistance or the previous resistance to this energy. I'm going to collapse all those now. By the way, if you need to burp or you feel some stuff rising, that would not surprise me. All right. In what ways does spirit reside in all of these energies? That's interesting. Before I say anything else, I want to welcome anyone to share what they're experiencing right now. I feel my eyes feel like they're on fire.
It feels like there's a resistance. You know, and
yeah.
When you said what's not coming up, you know, or what's being hidden from us is, or what do we resist? It's the how great we really are. You know, we resist realizing that within our body.
That's pretty awesome. So I'm going to use art, and everybody, let's just... you know, allow whatever you're experiencing to remain as it is so we can kind of naturalize to it. But let's just ask Art's body to educate Art in the experience of his own greatness. And I'm going to do it with mine, too. Sometimes it's easier to understand what your experience is when you can relate to someone else's experience, just by that comparison. And it's not competition, and it's not one person is better and one person is worse. It's just different for the experience. And if you have that to, you know, that differential to recognize, it helps. So I'm going to ask my body, hey, body, show me and everybody else the experience of me stepping or allowing my own greatness. That's intense for me. I need to ask that question more frequently.
It seems like there's a barrier that we're struggling to break through.
For me, the resistance to that is a deep-seated fear of being made a target again, being abused again, being punished again. Being burned at the stake again, perhaps, that kind of stuff. So it's pretty
yeah.
Fun, I think.
Well, that would apply. think, because those are typical instances when they're trying to put you back in the box. Like, wow, you're too big for all of us. We can't handle you. You need to die so that we don't see that anymore. Right? So, what if you're a target? What if the target is so big that it's so big that if someone does try to shoot an arrow at it, it's completely unaffected?
Hmm.
What if it's that level of greatness?
How do you get to that? or allow that.
Allow that by not buying into everyone else is more powerful than you. So the idea that, yeah, they may kill you, but you're still unaffected. That is your greatness. And that's definitely your spiritual greatness. That the idea of the body being the end-all, be-all of your existence, it's reverse of what the truth is. It's interesting because I'm getting a lot of information right now, so I feel like I'm not completing my sentences and what I'm saying is disjointed. So if I need to clarify or repeat something, please let me know. I'm getting a lot of information lately about levels of consciousness and the bridges of consciousness and how we shift into different densities and how those different densities relate on the different planes of existence. And a really, really basic explanation of that is like when you're at a super, super high conscious level and everything's just really, really yummy and awesome, but you don't have enough money in your bank account to pay rent. So you can be in this really awesome conscious state, but then as soon as you start walking around and you realize that you've got to write a check, you're pulled into this space of worry and stress and having to take care of things and not knowing what to do. And it's like almost like a dynamic opposite of that expansive consciousness that you're capable of achieving. So you get pulled into one or the other, and the coexistence piece that exists, but it exists as a teeter-totter of consciousness as opposed to a bridge of consciousness where you can just traverse it at any level you wish. In the same way, when you're looking at the fear of what others are going to do, it's one of those self-fulfilling prophecies in a way. You know, if you fear this is going to occur, then that's going to occur. That's a form of self-sabotage in one category. Then there's the, is that fear a lie? I mean, ultimately, it is a lie. And if it is a lie, but you still have that concern at that level, it is an awareness. And there is a pattern in place of people that put themselves in the limelight in certain ways become targets. And people love them and people hate them and people try to seek and destroy that person. And it's typically all in the name of power or silencing or maintaining some form of status quo. So when you're talking about greatness and existing in greatness and communicating openly and with spirit at that level, there are certain examples of individuals on the planet who already do that and have done it in the past and what their experiences are. We go into places of, oh, I would love to be like that. No, I don't want to be like that. No, I don't want to experience that. As soon as you go into, no, I don't want to experience that, you just created a resistance. Do you have to experience that? No. Do you have to put yourself in the public limelight? No. You're capable of just walking that path daily, and everyone that you encounter is going to experience it with you. And that's about as limelight as it gets. And that can be really big at times. But it doesn't mean that you have to go, you know, be a hermit somewhere to avoid it. It doesn't mean that you have to literally go be crucified in front of, you know, a mob of people either. So when you say, you know, you have this trepidation, this fear, this worry that you're going to be killed again or you're going to be punished again, that is one of the trauma patterns that you are addressing with your package right now, number one. And it's really awesome that you have that package to work through it. So, Roseanne, if I were you in this experience, if you were to go into that greatness and find the resistance and step into it, and then that that button or that trigger of, oh my gosh, everybody's going to come and get me is played, that's when you would play one of those spin sessions from that trauma package. And you'd be going specifically after the pattern of that occurring again and again and again. Silence her again. She forgot. Silence her again. She got too big. Put her in a box. She's getting too big. You know, she's bigger than me. I can't handle that. Let's control her. Let's control her. Let's control her. Trauma and abuse all the way.
Okay.
So what are all the ways that we've been abused into a box? That's a lot. That makes my head spin.
I think also it's
okay.
Put us into a box, but also put us into that victim mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, be small. Be convinced that you're powerless. Be convinced that I'm going to hurt you before I ever hurt you again. So you don't take the steps. There's this really cool astrophysicist, scientist, and I can never remember his name, but he is just a bomb. And he was talking, I was listening to him talk about all of space, all of existence, every single itty-bitty particle has consciousness to it, and it has been scientifically proven. And that the universe itself, it conspires and communicates openly throughout your reality and throughout all existence. So there is a quantum network, a quantum communication network for everything and every form of existence in the universe, in reality, that maintains individual level of truth. So if you make a statement, every particle in the universe communicates that statement so that that's your reality. And it can be, you know, you can look at it in a really negative way, but the way I see it in a really awesome, amazing way, it's the power of thought, the power of words, the power of claiming your reality and claiming your truth. And it's not just speaking your truth, it's freaking owning it, having it, walking with it. That's this level of greatness. And when you look at it in a really scientific way, the way that he explained it, and I'll try to find his name and email it to everyone. But that is also a form of communicating with spirit. It's just a very, very scientific way of explaining it. But that's the level that spirit operates. It envelops every type of organism and system and thing, whether or not you consider it conscious. Everything is conscious at that level. And so your level of communicating with spirit, you know, we can see it through animals. We can see it, you know, through wind. We can see it through elements because we're on this elemental planet, right? But it's also just existing in the very essence of your being, and all the other little constituents of your being. So all of your cells and all of your veins and your blood and all of that stuff is communicating at a universal scale. It's pretty amazing. So when you recognize it and then you open up, like we're in the conference room, you open up the room, the floor, for everything to join and communicate openly, what is the conversation actually about? When you're in your own conference room with your own being and all the elements are there with you, what is that conversation? You're the person. What is it in Lord of the Flies? And they say, I've got the conch, right? You've got the conch in that conversation. You're the leader. Is there still resistance to that?
Another aspect of the science you're talking about is that they found that if you take a particle of anything, doesn't matter what it is, and you divide it in half, and something happens to one of the halves, like a vibration affects it and causes it to change in some way, the other half of the particle will respond in the same way.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. It's really funny, too. We're on a very, very high state right now. Don't know if you've realized it, but check your energy because it has shifted. One of the other things that's coming up, like in our interactions with others, like we can all interact with each other here, hunky-dory. There's no issues. Even when, you know, we're all going through very different things, there's no issues. But when I think about some people that I have contentious relationships with, the thought of even saying hi to them, I just want to grab a bucket and hurl. I don't want to even go there. So that's one of my forms of resistances. When I look at it in a sense of greatness, like stepping into my personal greatness, it typically is with the individuals who have had a problem with my greatness and can't tend to their own garden and have to try to tend to mine. And that's really, really annoying for me. So it goes back to that idea of my garden is so big that somebody else could take care of a corner of it and it wouldn't affect the entire garden. Because we are going to encounter individuals and others who don't look within, who don't maintain their own space and see their greatness as compared to your smallness. Or their idea of control being that you are controlled by them. And that may shift, but it's while that's shifting and changing, and you can see a lot of it right now. There are people kicking and screaming like crazy about control stuff and power stuff. What does spirit say? And here, even when we're talking about it, it's an interaction-based, it's relationship-based with others. When you're shifting out, we're talking about the vibrations of particles and the communication network of the universe. Is spirit the actual thing that's traveling through the communication network? What if spirit isn't communication? Or what if spirit isn't communicating? What if spirit is the actual communication?
Yes, that's a very good way to put it, because it seems to me that mostly I'm just going to put it personally for me, is listening, not trying to tell spirit things. Spirit already knows what I want and need, but for me to be able to get what I need, I have to be able to listen. I have to be able to open myself up to hearing it and receiving the messages. That's most of the communication from my understanding.
I agree. And I gotta tell you, go ahead, Art.
I was gonna say, what comes up for me is, what am I not comprehending? You know, because of the resistance I'm putting in place, or, you know, not stepping into my fullness, am I missing things because I'm not comprehending what it's saying?
Okay, I got to tell you guys a brief story because it's really funny and it applies. So over the last year, I encountered just a blackout. things were going a certain way, and then all of a sudden I was trying to communicate with certain individuals to maintain that, and I wasn't able to get through. Literally, I was making phone calls that wouldn't land. I was making emails that weren't getting through. I can laugh about it, but it was just everything shut down. I had, you know, my money situation changed, my income situation changed, everything changed, and I was just like, I kept getting this message of be patient, you know, just intuitively, it was just like, okay, I'll just stay with it, okay, I'll just stay with it, and then I would get a hit like, you need to do this, or you need to try to get a job, or you need to do this, you need to do that, and every time I would try to do that, boom, shut down, I mean, just royally shut down, and I was in a place, and I think it was like over the summer where I was just finally like, screw it. You know, I got online and I randomly called a church. And I don't even remember what it was, but it was some church in California. I'm in Colorado, right? And I remember I was having an issue. It was all about faith and hope and belief and all this stuff. And spirit animals came up, so I had a wasp and around my balcony next to my flowers, and I was watching it, and I was like, okay, I'm going to look that up, and it was like, you know, a wasp is perseverance. A wasp, you know, keeps going. They don't stop, you know, so I'm like, okay, keep going, right? And so then I just randomly called this church, and I was pretty fed up, and I was like, I just need to talk to somebody, and so I talked to this guy. They had a seminary there, so I was talking to this pupil about faith. And I was like, I need to talk about faith. I just don't think I have it right now. And I just need to hear you talk about it or tell me what you're learning about it. I was just grappling for information, right? And so we talked a little bit. I was literally in tears because I just was not getting it. So that I was seeking it as much as possible, and still when I was receiving direct information, I could not hear it. I could not relate. I couldn't get it. And I was just a mess. And so he was like, you know, he goes, I'm looking up a church in your area. So, you know, maybe you could just go to that church or check out their website. So I'm like, okay, so I check out their website, and they have these sermons on the website that they had recorded. And I was like, okay, so I just literally, I mean, they're like 30 or something, and I just picked one and I clicked on it, and the name of the sermon was Stay the Course. And, I was just like, I mean, I just fell out of my chair because, I mean, at that point, it was just so funny. I'm like, you're kidding me, right? So I had heard, like, Stay the Course maybe, like, 20 times over, and that was the message. And even though I was receiving the message and I could hear it and I didn't like it and I was trying to figure out what it meant, I kept doing everything I could to do something other than just stay the course. I kept trying to fix it. And I even asked a friend that is like a CEO of a company. I was like, hey, are you hiring? And she goes, no. You're in the hallway right now. You can't do this right now. I'm not letting you go that route. And I'm like, what? Right? So finally somebody said to me, you're staying the course, but you're staying the course as you've always known it, not as it's going to be. And everywhere you're looking for this to manifest or show up for you is the wrong door. It's going to come through a different door. And then I had another person tell me, this is just fine too. You just randomly talk to people and they all give you the message. So it doesn't have to come through animals. You just talk to a stranger and they'll give you the message when you're listening or, you know, asking for it. But they said, you know, you're trying to do all of these things. You're trying to do this and try to do that and do this and do that, but you are the door. You need to be the door. To be the doer is to be the door. And that's it. That's the answer. When spirit's talking to you, or you can't hear it, or you're not in the, you don't feel like you're in the flow, or you don't understand, or you're frustrated, you're looking for the door outside of yourself, and you are the door.
seems that one of the blocks we put in our own way is that when we ask for answers and guidance and help with finding solutions, we sometimes just expect it to come in a certain way. And one of the keys I found for me is that I have to not have that expectation and allow for any type of answer to come. I mean, or the solution to come from any direction, and not try to put my own expectations on how it will come or what it will be. I don't know if I said that very well.
No, you did. And for me, I put a sense of urgency on it. So I've forced the timing of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't show up according to my timetable, then I look to fix it anyway. So for me, it's that just chillax, Ren. Chillax. It's funny, though.
I think one of the other things.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the other things that comes up for me is asking Spirit, what are you not telling me? Because it seems like I get bits and pieces, but there's more to the picture, more to the story, more questions to ask. And then for me, what questions am I not asking?
That's when I just ask a very random question like, okay, what else do I need? What do I need next? What do I do with this? Who already knows what to do with this? You know, so who can I meet that can show me what to do with this? And I just ask those vacant questions because it shows when you ask questions like that, especially when you're receiving forms of information or feedback, you're automatically acknowledging that you've received it. You're acknowledging that you're listening and you're paying attention. It's like, right. I get that you're talking to me. Please speak in my language. Right? Like when you're in channel or you're downloading from your teams and they're like, you're speaking something galactic that I don't understand. Please speak English. There's still ways though when that shows up and you just, you just don't comprehend it. And one of the things that we are all experiencing right now, and I would wager pretty solidly that everyone in the room is experiencing it at their level, the shifts that are occurring right now are at such an intensity that it's almost like that molecule is being split. That's how intense it is.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that split is it's a rising consciousness, and it's happening at a planetary scale. And I know it can sound all flu-flu and la-la, but we are like in a moment where it is literally occurring, and the pressure or the sensitivity of that on all scales. Like some people that are at unconscious levels that don't have the tools that are dealing with a lot of stuff right now, I mean, it's so intense. It feels like people are going to just take to the streets because they're so opinionated about things, and you know, or they're so afraid, or they're just so outraged. It's amazing how just you can see it occurring on all levels. When we're talking about it at a spiritual level, and you're talking about stepping up the ladder of consciousness, one rung on the ladder is a big deal. But we're actually getting ready to step off the edge or the top edge of one ladder and begin the first rung of the second ladder. So we're switching ladders. And that's a bigger deal. So it's leaving that old process behind. It's stepping into a brand new process. And even though you're dealing with rungs on a ladder, it's just another ladder. It's another ladder in an entirely different environment because you're dealing with levels of density and consciousness. So, it's funny, like a while ago, I remember saying that I knew that we switched into 4D when they released the new money. And I had a friend that worked for the government. She said, actually, they printed that money in the 80s. They just released it now.
Wow.
So we had, the new money, it has a three-dimensional quality to it. And from working in dimensions, when you can recognize like three dimensions or four dimensions just from your own observation, you are actually existing in a higher dimension. So naturally, if you can see something three-dimensional, like 3D printing and things like that, as soon as that became, you know, was out there, everybody's existing in the fourth dimension. Because by interaction, observation, we're working in the third. When everything was had to be drawn on paper and perspective and things like that, then everybody was working in 3D, or everybody was existing in 3D and operating with two-dimensional things. And then you could see, you know, like Renaissance sculptors and things, when they were sculpting things and they were presenting something in three dimensions, but they were still working on it hands-on. There was that verge, that edge of, you know, 3D, 4D. I would wager that everyone here is beyond 4D. But there's something that occurs, I've been mapping it, is between 5 and 6, it's almost like there's this membrane in between the levels of consciousness. And in order to, you can't just walk up the ladder and hop on to the next one. You need energy to throttle through it. And so all of the intensity that's occurring right now is that level of energy that we can use to throttle ourselves through that barrier into 6. What happens is some people, it's like they don't make it through the barrier. It's like they hit the ceiling and then they topple all the way back down and have to climb back up again. Sometimes when you topple all the way down, there's like a trampoline at the bottom there, and you can bounce back up and use that to throttle yourself through. But that's just the way it works. We're at the widest net that exists between levels of consciousness. And then as you continue to climb, like 6, 7, 8, it reduces again. So the way that it looks, it's like it looks like a diamond. So 0 is at the, if we're looking at it, you know, rising up, 0 is at the bottom where the little point is, and then it's segmented into 10 segments. And so right at the widest birth of the diamond is that line between 5 and 6. That line between 5 and 6, that's the ultimate bridge of consciousness that we are shifting through right now. It's really interesting this information is coming out right now, because this is all about talking or communicating with spirit in a way. And recognizing that as you are moving through these modes of consciousness, that there are different intensities of energies that are required in order to throttle you through. And just as I can't even remember what we were literally saying earlier, but it was kind of like asking the questions, receiving the information, and then asking further questions. It's kind of like, what's the best way for me to be throttled through this? What is my individual trajectory into the next density? And it's interesting, too, because when you talk about density and you talk about dimension, they are different things, but they can be related. So, you know, we talk about, you know, existing in, you know, 4D, 3D, down in the fourth dimension, three dimension. But really, when you're talking about third density, fourth density, fifth density, sixth density, they're different. They're not dimensions. They're densities. Densities of consciousness. And when you talk about physical bodies and spiritual bodies and mental bodies, they have different manifestations on each of those densities. So the 3D body is different than the 4D body. The 4D body is different than the 5D body. the way that it, the way that we relate to it, you know, it just looks like a human body. You know, lay it on a table, it behaves like a human body. But when you start bringing in all the other energetics to it, the body behaves differently. It's allowed to behave differently. Roseanne, I'm going to use you as an example. One of the ways that your body is experiencing so much pain is because you are clearing out all of this lower density sludge from your body. Also, allow that body to rise in density that it's capable of. Allow yourself to coexist with your body at its actual density of existence that you have personally stepped into. You're no longer required to coexist at that lower level.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You're absolutely right about that. And it's mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual, and energetic. All at the same time, I'm detoxing all those levels of schmutz.
So when you're detoxing it, it's another way of looking at your quantum self. So it's easy for us to say, okay, well, you know, let's say you have 10 lifetimes, and each lifetime you're a different occupation or whatever, and you can segment, you know, those realities by understanding them as lifetimes. You do the same thing with your body in realms of an idea, the idea of density. So, like, let's say that we have 10 densities within a diamond, a diamond graph, okay? Well, all 10 densities coexist. In quantum space, I can work on 10 lifetimes at the same time. I can clear all that energy out and make it a lot easier, right? Your body's doing the same thing. So if your body right now is clearing out 3D residue and temporal discord and all of that other stuff, your current body existing at 5D and working its way to 60 or working its way to 70 or wherever that is, it doesn't have to be immersed in the 3D experience. It can then step into this awareness, this energetic awareness mode of, oh, this is being healed in that body, so it's also being healed in my current body. And there doesn't have to be a linear sequence that takes place with it. That's what's really cool about when you're working in like quantum space and you just find a node and you move everything into that node, one thing doesn't have to be healed before the other. Everything is just healed. You are healed. All other aspects of yourself are also healed. That's the advantage of what you're doing here now. When we say, why are we here? What are we doing here? This is what we're doing here. We're healing all of those other aspects and facets of yourself. And when you say, you know, when you do like a past life reconciliation or something like that, and you reconcile in that life, you just reconciled it in all of your other existences as well. It's no longer baggage that needs to be carried. So when you recognize that this is what your body's healing through, and all of us, you know, when we go through the similar process, this is what we're healing, this is what we're letting go of, this is what's clearing out, it's also clearing out of every other existence of yourself.
Well, isn't it also clearing out for our ancestors and for our progeny as well? Whatever we heal in ourselves, don't we heal it for all of them?
You do, but in this instance, I'd like you to look at that as everyone in your ancestry, everyone in your lineage is also you.
Mm-hmm.
It, ultimately, when you start looking at it, the only thing that exists is you. Even though I'm the one speaking right now, you're the only one that exists. And I am an aspect of yourself that you need in order to receive the information the way that you need it right now. So I am your gift to yourself. And you are my gift to me. When you step into greatness in this way, it becomes that much more vast. You become that much more powerful. And when you're conscious of what is what you are capable of curing and healing and reconciling at such a massive scale, it brings you together and a greater amount of unity. Even if you have all these parallel lifetimes and other things in existence, that's your consciousness, that's your being doing things. That allows you to understand your relationships. And then for you, like for Roseanne, I know like what you are healing on this plane in this lifetime is at a point where it's not going to need to be addressed again. It's like you're going to be done with it in this lifetime once you get through that gate.
That's why I'm working on it so much.
That's right. That's right. And we've all done it. It's just
yeah.
You're right in that hot seat right now. So it's easy to talk about yours because you're right in the hot seat.
And stay in the course.
That's right. So okay, I'm going to ask again because we've been... what are all of the things that you have gone... I don't even remember the question I was asking earlier. It was something about all the things that you have not seen or that you've been unwilling to see.
What
are all of your...
We could also be seeing it and not recognizing it.
And in that light, what I see is the progress that we've made, that we don't, you know, we've made such tremendous progress, I think, here, and we don't recognize it ourselves.
And I think, you know, a lot of what you just said was just wonderful. I love that. Thank you for sharing it. And I think a lot of that is going to show itself to us over the next weeks. You know, it'll be revealed to us and we'll be able to see it more clearly, put pieces of it together more clearly over the next weeks and months and who knows how long.
Yeah, it's one of those things you have to constantly remind yourself of, too. Because when you are in the seat of whatever it is, it's difficult to recognize. We always have this tendency to see it as I, me, mine, or that egocentric. And the coexistence piece, when you just say coexist, yeah, we can coexist with everyone else and allow everyone else to be everyone else. But when you look at it as they are all manifestations of you and your reality, it makes it a lot easier to... sometimes not, but it makes it a lot easier to recognize what coexist actually can be.
Hmm.
And that if, you know, I have an issue with person B over there, then that person B is reflecting an issue I have with myself. That is one of the resistances.
Hmm.
That's one of the things you can't recognize. And if you look at it where spirit's communicating through all of your relationships, every single one of them, your relationship with the bed you have to lay on while you're healing, relationship with the tree outside your window, the relationship with the jerk that lives down the road, right? Mm-hmm. That you don't like to talk to, whatever mm-hmm. that is, that's spirit talking to you. That's the communication. So when you can't recognize it or you don't understand it, that's when you follow up with the question, what have I been unwilling to see here? What can I see now? What have I been unwilling to recognize? What am I now willing to recognize? Did baby step into it? And, you know, I always like to ask that future question. What am I able to recognize a week from now? What am I able to recognize next month? What if I could recognize that today? What would change my future? Or what would change in my future? And I talk about my need to force timing, that's not one of the ways that I force timing. That's the way I invite things to come forward sooner if they want to, but it also increases my awareness and consciousness around things. When I talk about forcing my timing, I'm actually like hitting the ground trying to make things happen instead of inviting them into my life. I'd like to, speaking of inviting things, just all the energy that we're sharing right now, and just bring it into your body. I'm just going to ask everyone's bodies to step into energetic equilibrium throughout the entire body-mind-field complex now. Okay, and then I'm going to ask bodies, respectively. Okay, put everybody in the zone of clarity right now. Okay, bodies, respectively, please inform your occupant in the sensory experience of receiving communication that is spirit. Does anyone have feedback on that? I have to say, I've got a there seems to be a void within me where I've been unwilling to ask that question, and since I've asked that question, it's uncomfortable. It almost feels like I'm stretching a leg that's not moved for a year.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Maybe. I asked bodies to educate by way of a sensory experience, the sensory experience of receiving the communication that is spirit.
Yeah.
Let's intensify and magnify it.
It's certainly stirring up energy in my body. I can feel energy moving. It's not particularly comfortable, but it seems like it's maybe breaking up some stagnation.
Yeah, I mean, it's like deep in like my thoracic region. It's too low to
me,
be
it feels
a form
like
of heartache, but it's. What
were
you
saying? For me, it feels
like
it's hard to communicate.
Yeah.
But you're feeling it.
Yeah.
I feel it big time. Yeah.
I think this is one of the reasons why I have not wanted to see mine, because I would not define this as a pleasurable experience. I'm like, oh, really?
Well, I'm glad to have it, but I'm not enjoying the feeling of it.
Right. And I think I don't have an issue with that, frankly. I think sometimes when you're unaccustomed to something, or it has changed, or you have changed, it's like meeting an old friend after 30 years or something, and you used to be really good friends, and then you don't know each other anymore, and it's kind of awkward, right?
Yeah.
That's what it seems like this is. Like, when I used to do this more, I was in a different place. And so my definition of enjoyment is no longer enjoyable to me.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I would not choose to do it that way anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's good, though, because it's very distinct. So it'll be difficult for me to ignore it when it presents itself. Because in something like this, when you ask your body to reveal that information, because that's what this is, your body is saying, yo, spirit communication coming through, right? It's a bit more difficult to ignore.
I think there's also a comprehension, you know, part of it too, because it's going through, the communication is going through our body and our soul, and our mind wants to be able to comprehend that, but I think we struggle a little bit on that, and I think this is a frustration level, because we want to comprehend, the mind wants to comprehend it all.
Yeah. But that's the difference between, like, the understanding and comprehension piece and that knowing piece.
Mm.
Because the knowing, you know, if I'm in a knowing state and you ask me what I mean by that, I'm really not able to define it.
Exactly.
It takes
yeah.
me out of knowing in order to describe it. And then it's automatically at a lower
mm-hmm.
state or a lesser
yep.
state.
So, Art, when you use the word comprehend, are you saying put words to it? Is that what you're really saying?
Put words to it, but also in terms of a mental understanding.
Hmm.
So let's ask the door question, because the door seems to be more of a state of being, and it's not even a state of action. It's just a presence of being that allows flow. That's what a door does. If it's open, there's flow that can occur, right? So when the comprehension piece, if you're seeking to understand it, it's more of, I don't know, and you can ask a better question if I don't ask it right, but it's like, what do I, as the door, be here? Or what as the door, what is my current presence with this? What traffic am I allowing?
Mm.
And there was this.
And then on top of that, there's the translation too. So there's always, you know, to communicate, you have to talk a common language. So maybe part of it is our minds expanding to be able to talk that language.
Yeah. Maybe as the door, you are the language.
Mm.
That's a fascinating concept, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
Be the door.
When you look at that, like I was, I was talking to a friend about your angels, and sometimes you have the angels, and sometimes you are the angel. And he was telling me of a really funny experience where he was at the bank and he had to get something done, and this guy, it was an older guy who clearly probably shouldn't have been driving, had like pulled up and taken up 4 parking spots in front of the bank and couldn't get his car to start. And he came up to him and was like, "I can't get my car to start. Can you help me?" And he's like, "I'll be happy to help you after I complete my business here at the bank." And so he finished his stuff, and he was talking about, you know, that guy had business to do at the bank too, and it was just really funny how he was getting everyone at the bank to do all these other things that were completely not bank related. So he basically saved himself 5 different separate trips to other places because everybody at the bank just was doing everything that he needed for him. It was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And that they got back into the car, and he didn't have the car in park. So all he did was put the car in park, and then it started up right away. And he was saying that he was the angel. That's all that the guy said, "I need help with my car." The angel showed up, helped him start the car. And then he was like, "I didn't stay around to question whether or not he needed to be driving the car or where he was going next. I just recognized that I needed to go out a separate exit and get away as far as possible, as fast as possible," right? Because he should have been driving his car. But that's also when you talk about being the door, or, you know, what is the language of the door, you know, or that's the question. It's not, if you are the language for people who access the door, do they understand? That's not your job. You're just speaking the language, right? So we tend to take extra steps where they're not required, and that's how we move out of the presence of the door. Or we get pulled out of the presence of the doer, that space. When if the door is being the language, then be the language.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the language is just putting the car in park. That's the language.
Mm-hmm.
It's also really interesting looking at it that way. I'm sorry, I'm just totally like flying high right now. But the when you look at it, like, you know, the communication that is spirit, that is how you are the door for the communication that is spirit. We are all particles in that network of communication of consciousness. That's your role. That's my role. And that's how Snow White can just be walking through the woods and have all these little forest creatures around her. That's how she does that. You know, it also, it makes me think of, geographically and politically, I'm probably going to get it incorrect, but you know, there's a bunch of monks in prison. Like, I think China put a bunch of Tibetan monks in prison or something like that. And they're all like these really high level monks where it doesn't matter where they are, they can still go wherever they need to go. And they've stopped keeping a tally of how many monks are in the prison because the monks just disappear and go do what they need to do, and then they all of a sudden they're back again. So they don't have a problem being in prison because they do whatever they need to do anyway.
I love that.
I know, it's hilarious. But they're not, they're literally put in a box. But they exist at a greater level than the box. So someone can literally put them in a cell and lock them in it, and they are still unfazed about it. They're just like, okay, I'm in a box. I need to go here, though, so I'm going to go there. And then I'll just come back to the box so that they feel like I'm still in the box.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like freedom.
Yeah. Maybe that's just the way to address the experience of limitation.
Mm.
It'd be a really cool homework assignment over the next month. every time you experience the box of limitation, you're like, okay, I will let this limitation think that I am held within this box. But I am not held within this box.
I read a story some time ago about this man who came home one night from work. He had on his fancy suit and his fancy shoes, and it was raining and cold, and the road was muddy, and he turned into his driveway, and he encountered a goose. Now, he owns 30 geese, so he thought it was one of his. And they're not easy to catch if you know anything about geese, but he finally did get it and put it in the car. He drove back home. He pulled up to the barn. He just cracked the door open and tossed the goose in. The next day, when he went out to the barn and opened the door to let all of his geese out, this one goose just shot through the doorway and flew off into the distance. Now, his geese don't fly. So he turned around wondering what was going on. And there are his 30 geese standing there, and they've all got their heads cocked to one side, like they're going, what was... And so evidently that one goose must have been a wild goose that just, I don't know, got lost or something. So he said that day he watched as all of his geese, one after one, started walking up to the highest hill on his farm. And one by one, they began to run down the hill and start flapping their wings, trying to fly. And they kept doing this over and over and over again. And then they did this day after day after day to try to emulate that one example of that goose that they never even conceived of the idea or the possibility that they could fly. And the reason why I felt so compelled to tell this story is because when we're talking about being in a box, sometimes it only takes one example or one person in your life or one experience or one contact with spirit or one of anything that can show you a wider viewpoint and show you how you can be greater in yourself. I don't know. That story just really seems to mean a lot to me. So.
And there was perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that knowing comes in. Like, they see that it's possible. They know that you know that it's possible. You just got to keep doing it because you know it's possible. That's that stay the course bit.
Before, they never knew that they were capable.
Right.
And that is a true story.
That's amazing.
Yeah. animals are just amazing, really. I look out my windows every day to see what animals are showing up in my environment. Oh, and I look around my house, too, inside. You never know what you're going to find.
I got my my son, he's my younger son, he is a raven, and he attracts ravens, and he talks to them, and he really freaking talks to them. It's amazing. We were living in a high-rise, and we were moving to where we live now, and there's a murder of ravens that lived in the area of that high-rise, and he would just talk to them. They were his ravens. He said, "They're my ravens." And it was a parking lot that was just like a really long, narrow parking lot. So it was just a row of cars parked perpendicularly along the long edge of the long curb. And the day that we were leaving, to literally leaving that place to finally our last trip, there was a raven on top of every single car.
Oh,
in
my gosh.
The line. And some of them were like, you know, surfing down the windshield, and then they were hopping back up to the top and they were surfing down the windshields. And it was just, it was really trippy. I mean, it was like from Alfred Hitchcock or something. I mean, it was trippy. Like
That's
every
amazing.
Single car had a raven on it, and even ours. And then we got in it and the ravens were just there. And I told them, I was like, "Don't you think you should invite them to come with us?"
Yeah.
I mean, they clearly know something's going on here, right?
Yeah.
And he did, and they came with us. They moved into a tree outside our, we have a creek outside our, on the back side of our place, and there's a tree, and they moved into that area. So we had
wow.
ravens. And they,
wow.
it was just pretty funny. I'll never forget that. And they followed him to the car.
That's great.
By the way, Maverick has been hanging out with us this whole energy room.
Is that your cat?
Yes.
Oh, well, of course he would.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to stop the recording. I've just been hanging out. Thank you very much for joining this October Energy Room for Talking with Spirit. My name is Ren Goldrich, and if you have any questions about this or my other sessions, please visit onenesseveverything.com.